Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and here's a question. Do you trust your local TV news?
This is Mariah from Park City, Utah. I choose not to watch local news on television, not because I don't trust them, but because I find local providers less interesting and full of water skiing squirrel fluff.
This is John from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm less likely to believe it immediately if the station is trying to get a scoop and trying to be the first to report something.
I do not watch television news, nor do I trust it. Local television news, like its cable counterpart, has devolved into an echo chamber of fear-mongering and entertainment.
I tune into local news periodically, but after learning about Sinclair Broadcasting's attempt to distort the content, I'll be checking to see what local stations they may own before watching in the future. This is Susan Loger in Portland, Oregon.
Now, lots of you say you don't trust the local news in your community, and a recent viral video made by Deadspin has brought a lot of attention to one big media company that owns a lot of little local stations. They are Sinclair Broadcasting Group.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
Well, that video, that mashup has been a sensation online because of what it illustrates. How are all those local news anchors saying exactly the same thing? Well, Sinclair has been buying up those local TV stations and then feeding them editorial scripts pushing a conservative agenda. We reached out to dozens of local journalists at Sinclair-owned stations about this phenomenon, and we got this comment from someone in a local newsroom. The message of the promo was meant at a local level. Never mentions national outlets or attacks any specific organization. Any person with any bias can skew it to seem one way or the other, but my viewer at home sitting on his or her couch can rest assured that I'm doing my job. Well, that promo isn't the only example of how Sinclair shapes coverage. Take this example from last week, a must-run segment titled internally, Media Bashing of the Sinclair Broadcasting Group, with Boris Epstein. He's the chief political analyst for Sinclair and a former official in the Trump campaign and the Trump administration.
In terms of my analysis playing during your local news, as you see, my segments are very clearly marked as commentary. The same cannot be said for cable and broadcast news hosts who inject their opinions and bias into news coverage all the time without drawing any lines between them.
That same source who wrote to us before from a local newsroom said this about what you just heard. I think it's safe to say that there's a general disdain for Boris's commentary pieces every day. We do our best to overemphasize that it's commentary. Well, local news stations are supposed to fulfill a mission of local coverage from their communities, but Sinclair seems to be making national politics a central part of its local coverage. Philip Napoli is a professor at Duke Sanford School of Public Policy who studies local television.
We've really taken another step forward in the level of centralization of operations that can take place in how large station groups manage their stations. There's been that type of centralization in other aspects of how the stations have operated, centralized weather reports, things of that sort. But to see the same content distributed identically across so many stations was really a step further.
Now, why is this important? Because certainly the big cable networks, CNN and Fox and the others, they have centralized operations by definition. So Why is it an issue if local stations do it?
Well, our local stations have historically been regulated under a principle called localism. That's something that's a key part of the FCC's public interest regulatory framework that they apply to broadcast television. And so we've had a whole different host of types of regulations over the years that are intended to preserve the notion that local stations operate in a way that is reflective of and responsive to the needs and interests of their community of license. So this sort of centralization at the level of local news really does contradict that the localism principle.
Now, does that simply reflect an idea that so much of our political culture is getting nationalized? I mean, local news still exists, and so do local communities, to be sure. But we've all seen how much the national political debate and the polarization has become nationalized. Why shouldn't local news follow suit?
I think one of the dangers, and this is one of the issues that came out of the election and the discussion of how news has become nationalized, is that local perspectives, local takes, news that does reflect the unique characteristics of local communities really does get lost in the shuffle. And then the other key criteria that we've traditionally applied in our media regulatory framework, and that's the issue of diversity. And do we see diverse viewpoints? Voters have access to diverse and antagonistic sources that help them to make well-informed decisions?
Now, let's step back for a second and take a look at Sinclair's size and its power in the market. 193, I think, stations that Sinclair owns. How much have they grown in the past decade? And this number, 193, is it big? Is Sinclair really that powerful?
Well, there are 210, I believe the number is, television markets in the United States, distinct television markets. So if you own 193 stations, you have a fairly sizable footprint by the traditional standards of local TV. The ownership cap in our country's been expressed in terms of a national audience reach. And the audience cap as it currently exists is 39% of the national television audience. So with the number of stations that Sinclair owns and the way in which some of these stations and their audience reach is discounted because they are UHF stations, which means that their audience reach only counts for half of the community that they serve, their national footprint, as I understand it, gets closer to 73, 74%, something like that.
Now, with that breadth of audience, though, I mean, how much reach does Sinclair really have? I guess the question there is, what's the denominator? How much news are Americans getting from the types of stations that Sinclair owns?
Right. What that number doesn't tell us is how widely viewed these stations are in the communities that they serve. Not knowing what the ratings are across all these stations, one thing we do know is that very recent survey research, and this is sort of surprising, I think, people still identify local television news as one of their primary sources of news. So in terms of how people self-report their news consumption, local TV news still ranks very high.
So people are still watching it. Is that primarily older people, whereas younger people get their news from the internet or from social media?
The demographics of local TV news do tend to skew a bit older, yeah.
So what's the main concern for you, Philip, when you saw that supercut video? Not only were all these anchors delivering the exact same message, but they were delivering a message that attacked other media outlets and seemed to be hand in glove with the message of the White House.
Right. And there are a few concerns here. I think one is that local TV has been regulated traditionally in a way to try to preserve some of the characteristics that are essentially lost on other platforms. When we talk about the internet, we talk about social media as a way that we get news. The reality is that national news tends to overwhelm local news in people's news consumption. That's why Facebook tweaked their algorithm recently to try to figure out a way to increase the likelihood that people will consume local news. We lose one of our last bastions, really, of true local reporting, of independent decision making happening at the local level as it relates to news. We've been lucky in the sense that local TV news has not yet suffered the massive economic hardships that, for example, local newspapers have. So as no local newspapers have gone away and the hyperlocals have really failed to provide an adequate substitute, local TV news was sort of the last man standing as far as local journalism goes. And this obviously takes a lot of the local out of journalism.
What's to be done here, if anything? Is there a role for regulation? Is there any way that a regulator could step in and say this runs afoul of what local news is supposed to be? Or is this just what you get when you have a political culture that's nationalized and a company that knows how to make money off of the current moment?
The traditional safeguard has been ownership regulations that limit the national reach of any one company. Those are in the process of being relaxed even more than they already are. There's that defensive mechanism of maintaining some ownership regulations that don't allow this to get worse. Sinclair is in the process of purchasing Tribune Company stations, in which case their reach would expand further. And again, this isn't about the nature of the message. This is about just decentralization of control of the process of producing journalism and keeping people informed. Now, on the other hand, on the content side, which is something that is always a very sticky conversation in this country, if this sort of content does or were to sort of veer into the realm of disinformation, to use the term that we're all sick of, fake news, there actually are, and people aren't aware of this, there actually are rules, FCC rules, against that as it pertains to local TV stations, that if there is evidence of intentional production and dissemination of false information, that is supposed to trigger an FCC investigation. Those rules have been around since the 60s. They're not anything we hear much about because they're so seldom employed.
So, Philip, what's the caveat emptor here from you, if to the extent that people want to hear it, if they're watching local news on a Sinclair station? Certainly they can watch the news they want and take from it what they will. And you would say what?
I would say that there isn't any component of our news ecosystem anymore that seems to be immune to the politicization that has affected journalism in recent years. That, you know, someone seeking out objective reporting needs to work hard and needs to be more informed about the nature of their news sources than perhaps they ever have been, because it's getting tougher and tougher to find what at least, you know, traditional journalists would say is objective, you know, politically neutral reporting.
Philip Napoli is a professor at Duke Sanford School of Public Policy. Professor, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.